advance. And I was thinking about some things. I was thinking about what the Lord gave us Wednesday night, you know, and it's supernatural lives. We're talking about living supernatural lives, you know. I recall back from the time I got born again until now, and I'm telling you, I can give you incident after incident over a period of my whole spiritual life of supernatural things happening all the time.
Amen.
I'm talking about in my marriage. I'm talking about, you know, in my finances, in ministry. I mean, you know, but it wasn't just because it was God's will.
Right.
That's not why, you know, that it's because I chose to advance in the Lord. Not really realizing at that time I'm choosing to advance, you know.
Right.
But just making up my mind as I went with the Lord, nothing's going to stop me from doing the will of God.
Right.
Nothing. I mean, people try to get me not to go to church, want to come over on Sunday, used to be friends, blah, blah, blah. Only time they got off, and I would tell them, bring your clothes.
Right.
We'll eat after church, you know. I mean, I just had to make quality decisions, you know. But you know what? Supernatural things happen all the time.
Amen.
You know, and all of that. But we talked about supernatural lives, you know. And how many knows that all through the Bible, I mean, we read the Bible, we can't take it as just stories.
Right.
I mean, it is the accounts. It is the ways of God. It is how he asked them and what he done to get them where they were going. And I mean, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fiery furnace, you know, to serve the Lord. Daniel in the lion's den, you know. I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, Jesus went to the cross. You know, but supernatural things happen in their lives. Supernatural deliverance. You know, when Moses, I mean, there he is, kind of like a lot of us, you know, I mean, messed up lives, you know, and I mean, I come from a messed up family, you know. I think just because, I mean, if a family's without God, they're messed up. I don't care what they think. I mean, that's just the way it is, you know. Don't mean they're bad people and all that. But coming from, you know, a messed up life, you know, and different things, you know, had good parents. I mean, but we were raised without God. And so our lives were messed up. But anyway, coming over into the kingdom of God, but see, God wanted the supernatural happening in my life and my family all the time. And so he sends Moses. He gets Moses there. Moses goes over there, and just like Teresa brought up, he was a murderer. But God wanted his people delivered out from under Pharaoh.
Amen.
They were in bondage, and people are in bondage today. Did you know my brothers and sisters and all that needs me to serve the Lord?
Right.
They need me to be real. They need me to be genuine with God. They need me to be able to hear from God. They don't even know they need me.
Right.
And they don't need to know. I mean, I still preach the gospel. People need the gospel preached. They don't even know they need it.
Right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, and vice versa with my family. I need them to be genuine with God. We need to be united with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we're in this church together or they're over there or wherever, you know, everyone needs to be one with the Lord so that God can move supernaturally in families. Hallelujah. And so here he sends Moses down there and calls him out, tells him what he's going to do. How many knows that's the first thing God did with me whenever I got born again? He said, if you'll serve me, I'll bring your family back. He was talking about Teresa and Travis. He gave me vision the first thing.
Yeah.
Number one, I didn't want to commit suicide, you know, but that wasn't what was most important to me. You know, but he give me vision. How many knows he'll give you vision from wherever you are today?
Amen.
You know, I mean, I want, you know, just like me, I'm telling Lord, I want to be more anointed for the body. I want to be more in tune with you for the body. And the body ought to be saying, God, I want to be more one with you. I want to be more one with the body.
Amen.
I want to be more one with the Holy Spirit, Lord. I want whatever, you know, just like, we should have showed that. I'll show it after service. Don't let me forget, Beth, to show that after service. I want to show you what we're doing in India as a body here, you know, and then feeding those people over in India. That's a blessing, praise God. But the body ought to be. I mean, y'all ought to be fasting. Well, I'm just a churchgoer. No, you're more than a churchgoer, sweetheart.
Amen.
You're anointed of the Lord.
Amen.
You've been called out, called in, called together, called for a purpose.
Yep.
You know, the Bible says that one puts 1,000 demons to flight, two puts 10,000. Multiply it by how many's here. How many's linked by way of internet, praise God. So all of us ought to be fasting, finding out the will of God. Well, I don't really know what the will of God is. Why don't you know what the will of God is? You need to be fasting. You need to be praying and asking the Lord what the will of God is. Jensen Franklin done a sermon this morning. I don't know if anybody heard it, you know, talking about Jesus is about to return. I mean, the enemy, you know. I mean, it could be any time. No man knows there, but what he was saying is get ready. You know, get people saved. Get them in church. Get them right with the Lord. And I felt the urgency as he was ministering that sermon, you know, to be about it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we have supernatural life, but we got to choose to advance. Here the Lord brings them out. He goes down there and tells them. See, me and you all have vision for the church being full. We ought to have vision. What's my part in it, God? How faithful can I be, God?
Amen.
You need to be faithful to this church.
Amen.
Every time the doors are open.
Amen.
Well, I just don't feel good on Wednesdays. Well, we don't, none of us feel good on Wednesdays, sweetheart.
Right.
Take a buffer.
That's right.
Come on, somebody, get your sword out.
Amen.
We need you on Wednesday night.
Right.
Hallelujah. We do praise and worship, but we don't take up offerings, so don't worry about your money. We don't do it. We'll even give you money on Wednesday.
Right.
You know, people slapping money in everybody's hands around here. It just happens all the time. Money coming to people all the time. He's speaking to some to give. But you miss a Wednesday night service? I was hoping, what's your name?
Nemo.
I was hoping Nemo wouldn't show up one Wednesday night. God told me to give him that Cadillac. But God, I didn't want to give that Cadillac. I just didn't. You know? And the Lord said, I want you to give it to him tonight. I thought, praise God, he don't come on Wednesday night. That's what I thought. I thought, I'm thinking, well, but God, you know, God, you missed up Wednesday, well, that's over. That's my candy. Well, guess what? He showed up of all Wednesday nights. Hallelujah. You were to get the caddy
right.
In church. I wasn't going to call him. Lord told me to do it at church.
Right.
Well, if he didn't ever come back, I'd have kept that caddy. I'd have been driving that caddy today. But it happened in church. Well, God had a purpose for it happening in church. Hallelujah. You know? I mean, he wanted to see, and I'm sure that man ought to seem supernatural to him, but the way I got the vehicle was supernatural. God moved supernaturally to get him that Cadillac.
Amen.
In my life, he moved supernaturally and blessed me at the same time. I prospered off the whole deal. I gave the caddy, but I was going to drive that caddy, man. I mean, it had blacked out tail lights and all that, you know. It looked good, you know. But the way the Lord ended up, I prospered on the whole deal that I made. He prospered me, praise God. Why? Because I let the supernatural work. I let God work his supernatural in my life. I was believing him to advance. Had nothing to do with Nemo. I was believing that God had Nemo in the picture. I didn't even know God had Nemo. See how important the body of Christ is? See how important it is to have a church?
Amen.
I mean, it's just very important because God uses the body to minister. But we don't need to go around thinking, I hope Scotty gives to me or I hope Johnny gives it to me. You don't need to be thinking that way. You need to be thinking, God, what can I give?
Right.
God, how can I be a blessing?
Yep. Right.
You know, and then that opens you up, see, because God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
See, and that is preparing advancement in your life, you know. And is wanting to be used by the Lord. I don't see many today wanting to be used by the Lord. They just want to come and get what they can, and when they feel like getting in church, or when they going through and feel a little bad, you know, go to church. You know, you're going to feel bad all the time. I don't come to church to get. I come to church to give.
Amen.
I come to church. I get all the time. I fast and I pray and I seek the Lord. I listen to sermons. Hallelujah. I don't listen to secular music. I just don't listen to it. My preference. It drains me. It causes me. It don't help me. It don't minister to me. So then I that's why I believe I used to have to come to church to get alive. But now I don't have to come to church to get alive. Well, the body of Christ has got to come to that place where they don't have to come to church to get alive.
Amen.
They come to church to give out life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give out the anointing. Give out grace. Give out mercy. Give out love. Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord God.
Praise God. That, and you know what? We're not waiting on God to bring us to that place. He's already given us the supernatural. And Teresa done the sermon this morning about the church. Listen, if you guys can't take care, if you can't run your own house, God can't use you in the house of God.
Right.
Well, my kids just lie to me. You know they're lying, you're telling us.
Right.
Do something about their lying. Now, if you don't know they're lying, you ain't nothing you know about. I think it was Blake, a little kid. They come to me, take him, give the tithes and offerings. Did I tell that? Well, you know, I mean, he's just a kid, 5, 6, 7 years old, and so he ends up with some money. He goes home or whatever, and he's got money. Well, now they ask him where he got the money. Well, I knew where he got the money. You know, he took it out of the offering. The temptation was just great. You know? And so they come to me and tell me. I said, well, okay. So I got him off, you know, by himself. He apologized and all that stuff. And somebody said, well, you going to let him do it again? I said, sure I am. Sure I am. I said, the kid's getting punished right now, having to fess up to this. I mean, that's major stuff there. Got to go before the pastor. I wasn't real rough on him, you know. I told him, I said, don't you ever do that again.
Yeah.
Don't you ever do it again. Well, what am I doing? I'm keeping the house here in order. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't cut him off, and he's still doing it. He ain't never took the mower. If he did, he didn't let mom and dad know about it. He's saving it till he gets his own car so he can spend it. No, he didn't do it. Praise the Lord. Well, how many know? See, that was the supernatural working in his life.
Right.
The covering over him, the parents over him. They could, you know, they could have just brushed that off like that's no big deal and all of that and not made the man that he's going to make, praise God.
Yeah.
And they could have just brushed it off and, well, you know, kids are going to be kids. No, kids do stupid stuff. They do stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They will make some dumb decisions. Well, I mean, if Blake could have had his way, Monty would have punched it all the way to church Saturday to the men's meeting. Look at him, he's over here, yep. You know that? I mean, you're on wet roads. That's not smart. Monty's like, no, we're not going to do that. Now, you know, we're just not going to do that. Why? Monty knows that's smart. Now, he thinks it'd be fun. But Monty can see them spinning around, going off the road and crashing. He ain't thinking about that. He's thinking about burning out. But how many knows that? But each one of us need to be before the Lord. We need to be fasting and praying and seeking the Lord and the will of God. Look, God's got people he wants to bring into this place. He's already planned on it. But he needs us mature. He needs us maturing and growing and having structure, because they're going to come out of the world and they're going to be raised by the world. And they're not going to know what we know. And we're going to have to be loving with them. We're going to have to use wisdom with them. And we're going to have to give them direction. I told Travis one time, I said, you know, if you've got your kids in church and they're disciplined in church, you know, then the ones that come in and are unruly will see them, and then they will learn patterns.
Right.
I said, that's how that works. I said, that's how God supernaturally works with that, praise God. But, you know, Teresa brought that out really, really. I mean, that's one of the most anointed sermons that I've heard, really.
Glory to God.
Because when you understand that Christ is the head over the church, which is all of us, The husband is the head of the wife or the family. And when he takes that place, what that place means to me, I need to be studying my Bible.
Right. Yeah.
I need to be fasting. I need to be praying. I need to have my mind not stayed on. My mind tried to get on my land over there this morning. You know, whatever it might be, you might be work tomorrow, might be, no, I need to keep my mind stayed on the Lord. I need to keep my mind stayed on the things of the Lord, not even just on Sunday. You know, because I'm the one that needs to be making, hearing from the Lord and making financial decisions. Come on, somebody, financial decisions. This is going to take us, you know, our future is going to end up good.
Man.
I need to be making decisions for the church. Right decisions. Call them up. Just give you a little example. You know, they governed up with the garbage down here. Done up to $500 a month for that dumpster down there. And Teresa brought it to my attention, you know, and then she brought it to my attention a year or two ago, and it was $300 or whatever it was. And so I picked up the phone, you know, and my mindset right then, y'all come get that dumpster.
Right.
I'll buy it. And so I'm on the phone, I'm waiting on them, you know, and I'm on the back porch. Trish, don't tell them to come get it. And so I just kind of backed off of it. She brought it to my attention, you know, the dumpster's $500 a month, $480-something a month. And so I waited till Monday, and I picked up the phone, and I called them. I said, I got them to the right people, you know, because I thought, you know what, I got to be a good steward over that money. I got to make good decisions. We're not broke. It's not because we can't pay it. It's got nothing to do with that. I have to do that in my own life.
Right.
I have to make sure that the things that I'm spending on and doing is not taking away from my family.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Just call me a good steward.
Amen.
I'll let Teresa handle it. No, I ain't letting Teresa handle nothing. She can. She's capable, but it's not her place.
Right.
I'm supposed to be doing it.
Yep.
It's pressure on me. That's why I don't want to do it.
Mm.
But it's making me grow up. It's making me mature. It's making me come on into the place, a deeper anointing with the Lord. Hallelujah. Women the same way. You know, when you're submitting to your husband and I don't ever get without clothes. She cooked, she ought to cook. And when she went to work, I told her, I said, well, you still need to cook. Working or not, cook. You know, cook. If you can't cook, quit. Help me cook. Have me something cooked, because I can do it all. Well, we're in the modern world. No, we got to stick with the Bible.
Right.
The world don't dictate what we do.
Right.
The world and the way the world does it, and going after money and trying to be successful and taking their whole life and, you know, and not honoring God and going the way that they think, well, that's not the way we do. We don't pattern ourselves after the world. We pattern ourselves with this Bible right here. If we want God involved in the things that we want Him involved in, where the anointing is there, then we pattern ourselves after that Bible. So I picked up and I done made up my mind. I said, Lord, now I'm yielding this to you, Lord, but I will buy a trailer for $1,000 and I'll put sides on that trailer, and it'll cost me about $80 every 3 months to pull that to the garbage dumpster. I thought, surely I got one man in the church that's willing to take one Saturday a month or every 3 months to go and take that garbage off.
Amen.
And then I thought, but I'll do it myself if I have to. Well, that's the way me and you ought to think. God will lay our lives down, Lord, but He will send hell. When we're that way, He will send us hell. And so I done made my mind up. So I told that dude, I said, listen to me, man. I said, $500 a month is what it's costing the church for that dumpster. I said, that's ridiculous. I said, now we don't mind paying. I said, but I might put a few dirty clothes in that dumpster once or twice a month. I said, I need that dumpster cut down. The last time I told them that to cut it down and dump it every other month, they wouldn't do it. So my mind's done made up. You go dump it every other month, or I'm gonna tell you, come get that dumpster. That is godly. You're not charging this church $500 a month to haul off a little bit of clothes every month. I said, oh, are you Mr. Weston? I said, you're talking to him. And so he goes on and he said, well, let me just fix this right now. I said, that would be very kind of you to fix it. I wasn't getting passionate with him yet. And you know, when I'm sitting there waiting, he said, what about $320 a month? I said, that sounds like a good deal. Yeah. He said, it's fixed, Mr. Weston. I said, well, just have a, God bless you, man. He said, oh, well, God bless you too, sir. Thank you. And I thought, good thing, devil. Good thing you didn't mess with me. See, me and you's got to be that way at home. We got to be that way with the thing. And I mean, God's entrusted us with wives. He entrusted me. My wife could have been with anybody on the planet, honey. She could have went, but she wanted me. Thank you, Lord. You know, and so I owe her. She left her family. She left everything to come and make a life with me. And I need to give her a good one. I need to give her a good, godly life. Yeah. I bought me another tractor, and she told me, she said, well, she said, I don't really need that tractor, blah, blah, blah. Hers. I call it her tractor. Well, the guy was over there, and he said, well, I sure do need, I'd like to have that little Lawrence tractor. And I looked at him and I said, you can't have that tractor. That belongs to my wife. Now, I can get $6,000. I can get more than six. I get a six 4 or 5 years ago. I can get 12 out of it. They are that way right now. But my money's worth more than $12,000.
Amen.
But God, I told her, I said, no, we don't sell that. I said, just let it set up our honey. Now, I'm thinking about her. I don't need it. I will never use it again, probably. Never use the little compact tractor again. But it ain't about that. That's her tractor. And I'm not getting rid of her tractor. I'm going to get her a rake. I want her to go out there and rake leaves with that little tractor. It's not about the, and I could blow the $12,000 somewhere right quick. I'm just making a point, really. I'm not going to do that. That's her little tractor. Now, if she wants to sell it, I told her, I said, listen, if you want to sell that your little tractor, I don't want not one penny of it. I'll sell it for you, you know, when you get all the money, all of it. See, I used to. You ain't getting nothing. I'm the man. I'm getting all the money. I make all the decisions. You ain't getting nothing. And so I told her, you know, the Lord's blessed her. And I mean, she got her own money now.
Praise God, man.
I mean, I'll tell her if I want something, I'm going in there in your room. Rushed out of my room. But you know what? We've served the Lord. We followed the Lord. I'm making a point. I mean, we have endeavored to be good stewards. We've endeavored to let God change us and still are today. We've endeavored to be good stewards over the finances of this church and this ministry, that it's not used and abused and not just squandered, you know, and all of that stuff and hard choices. I've been a bad pastor because of it. Because I want these thugs out here welcome. I won't put them up and pay their rent.
Right.
I won't pay their car payments. Walk for all I care. Right. And they say, well, boy, what a pastor he is. I'm telling you. Well, my son will live under a bridge. He thinks I'm going to take care of him. He's 30.
Yep,
now, see, I mean, that's not Christian-like to some folk, but that's Bible.
Right.
My son wants to dishonor me like that, I'll cut him off. He says, honor your father and mother, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's supposed to know that. I raised him in it.
Right.
Now, he won't and he don't. He honors me and Teresa, and I mean, you know, he does. We raised him that way. But you know what? If he wants to start dishonoring me, and I've showed him, you know, I'll cut you off.
Right.
I'll pull you down out of ministry. Don't dishonor this ministry. I'll be lenient for a while.
Right.
But I take it very serious. This is my life. This is what I do. I'm called to it. You're called to it. We're called to be helpers together, workers together in this thing, you know. And so if I see the potential of something going to take the ministry down, that's going to be cut off. That's some tough stuff y'all get there.
Good stuff.
But it's got to. It won't happen. Just like Teresa brought it up this morning, you know, I mean, I've had them sitting in here like two little kids back yonder in the nursery that's been Christians for a long time, sitting back there and just going on and on and on, trying to minister the gospel, hallelujah. Me trying to edify and just won't shut up, and I've stopped the service and separated them. Right in the middle of the service. And I've seen people go, and I'd be like, well, y'all got to do it too with your own kids. Travis, one time when he coming up in church, we moved to the front. I got tired of all that garbage from the back to the front while I'm trying to pay attention to the Lord and worship. So I inched my way to the front. Travis is about Aiden's age, maybe 5, 6, and he's wanting to act up to the other kids, you know, in there. He's acting up one morning. I just got him up and took him outside. Walked out smiling at everybody. Walked him outside, set him down, and I set him on fire, Dunny. At that time, they'd come out with that, you can go to jail for it. And I thought, but God, I've been to jail, and I'm not scared to go to jail. And if I got to go to jail for discipline my kid, but God, somebody will get me out. God will. He'll send an angel like he did Peter. And I went out and I set him a fire, buddy. He couldn't even hardly breathe. He don't remember. But God, and I waited until he got his breath good and stood there just a couple, 3 minutes. And then when he got to where he could breathe pretty good, I raised him up and I said, now hush. I said, you better not move again on that pew. You know what? He never did want to play with them kids again. Praise God. Only it took that one time of good Holy Ghost fire. Well, you know what was happening, Johnny? I mean, he's getting me mad in church. He's getting the troops upset in church. Who do you think's the author of that? Satan.
Right.
Causing us to be angry in church. Can't pay attention to the word and can't worship and all of that stuff, you know, because of that. And I thought, I'm anointed to go spank him.
Right.
It's about the only time I spank him.
Yeah.
Teresa done the rest of it. I'll take care of church and you take care of the rest of it. See, it wasn't really about the spanking. It was about the bringing him under subjection. You know, so that he's not. See, and then, you know what? The supernatural was able to work in mine and her life. Thank God for it. Thank God I was able to go in, hear the word, and go in and worship, and go out and try to apply the word of God so that the supernatural could work in my life. How many know? Give me that Philippians 3, man. It's going a little different than what I thought. That's all right. Paul said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Not by if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Wait a minute. Not as though I'd already attained. This is the chief apostle right here saying, I ain't already made it. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after. Somebody say follow after.
Follow after.
See, he's following after that apprehended him.
Right.
And you know who apprehended him? On the road to Damascus.
Yes, sir.
Jesus. Yeah. Apprehended him. He said, not that I've already attained, and you know, but I'm going after that I have been apprehended of. Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I thought about this, you know, back years ago when I read that and I thought, man, you know, I've got to be like the Apostle Paul, man. Now here he is and he's over there in the book of Acts. And the Holy Ghost shows up to him, and the Holy Ghost tells him, everywhere you go, you're going to be in bonds. You're going to be in bondage and chains. and different things, trouble everywhere he went. He knew up front that it's going to cost him to serve this Jesus.
Right.
He knew up front. The body ought to know up front. You know, I was told, you know, back under that just get saved and you won't have no trouble. That's a lie.
Right.
That was setting me up for failure. Hallelujah. No, because there's a real devil. And that devil did not want me advancing to where I am today. He knows if you press forward and you go forward, man or woman, you know, praise God, if you go forward and you fast and you pray and you seek the Lord and you want to know the will of God and you do your best to obey the Lord when you know that it's Him, He will advance you. And I mean, He will bring you to where you're taking up serpents and you're pushing back darkness and all of that wherever you go. And Satan knows that, but we can't even blame it on Satan.
That's right.
Satan can't make me sit at home. Satan can't make me not fast. He can't make me not pray. He don't have the power to make me do anything. He can't make me mad. I choose to get mad. I choose to advance, or if you don't choose to advance, you will. You will back up.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that we're living in days now. You've got to choose to advance. You've got to choose. Cut off the secular. I've been about cut off the news. I've prayed for Ukraine, and I mean, I'll click it on every now and then, praise God. But you know what? I don't need, it tries to make me angry because of the way things are done. You know? And so I don't listen to a whole lot of it. I'm tuned in my ear into Jesus. Tuning my ear into the Word of God. Because He said He would supply Scotty's need. He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But we got to press and choose to advance. Wherever you're at today, choose to advance. Give me that 1 Timothy, Travis. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers. Did you know we're supposed to be examples? It didn't say be perfect. But he says be examples. Be that example in word, in what we say. And that's why I say, you know, I mean, I used to cut up and funny and nothing wrong with that. There's just really nothing wrong with it. But I read the scripture in there, then the Lord was speaking to me and He was saying, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like one. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Right.
You know, when I realized, you know, at that moment in time, you know, Lord, there's a time for me to be funny and joking, but there's a time, Lord, when I need to be doing warfare for my family. There's a time when I need to be, you know, focused, and I mean, I'm not going to back up, praise God. And about those times when I was making my mind up at that, all I was doing was choosing to advance. And God would say, take off your rear view mirror. You know, don't look back. Ain't that what Paul says? Forgetting those things behind, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God. He's pressing towards something higher.
Yeah.
He said, be thou an example of believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading. He didn't say give attendance to the world. He didn't say give attendance to secular music. See, I'll be criticized for that. He's just one of them law people. Can't do this. You can do anything you want to. You're free to do anything you want to do. But everything's not good for you and me. Everything is not good for me and you. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading in exhortation and doctrine. Go ahead, Trevor. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. How many knows He's put something on the inside of you?
Amen.
And if we neglect that, we're going to be spiritually depleted. We're going to be oppressed as Christians. We're going to be unbelief. I mean, you'll be fine till your old grape is squeezed. Come on, somebody. If you ain't got no fruit on the inside, I mean, you know, you ain't bearing, and it's up to you. If you ain't bearing fruit and exercising your faith, and I mean, taking every opportunity to grow in faith and develop in faith, praise God. Whenever trouble comes, everything will be good as long as you got $5 left over to go to the flea market. But when things, something happens and you ain't got the money to make it, you are torn apart. Now you're sad. Now you're depressed. Now all it is that is the fruit of your development. Now I was like that for 2 weeks after I got saved. But 10 years later, never. Not going to happen. Now, but God, I got in some hardship there in 2007, 2008, 2009. And yes, sir, I got an unbelief in some places, bless God. But I'm telling you, that was a 2 or 3 year long trial. Bless God, and I mean, I'm facing living on the streets and everything. No food, no money, behind, 3 months behind, done got foreclosure notice on my house, you know, wanting me to go in a quick sale and all of that. And that lasted for 2 or 3 years. I went through 2 or 3 years, not a week, not a couple of months. And black God, I finally got it settled in the middle of it when I made all the wrong choices, not seeking the Lord and fasting like I needed to, trying to figure out how to save us. I mean, no, you don't need to be figuring out how to save you. No. I fasted and got in there, walked streets of onion and repented to the Lord for getting into unbelief. I'm sorry, Lord, for turning to the weak and beggarly elements. What was I doing? I was choosing to advance into things that had already been won for me. I was quit fighting the battle, hallelujah. And when once I did that, praise God, I got set free on the inside. Me and Teresa sat on the doorsteps of our porch. Nothing in the natural had changed. Nothing had changed in the natural. But freedom came to the inside. We sat there laughing at the problem, literally. And then before you know it, breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And I've never been behind since. Never.
Hallelujah.
Fact of the matter, I can pay them off right now. If I want to. I'm just choosing not to. Don't want to. You know, just don't want to. Woo, glory to God.
Yeah.
But see, that's not me sitting back. God, why me? God, why me? We want to feel that way. And we want to express that. God, I've tithed and I've got tithed and I've give. And that's not fighting, friend. That's unbelief. That is really expressing unbelief. See, if you really believe God's going to come through for you, then you'll start speaking, thank you, Lord. No weapons formed against me will prosper. God, I'm sorry for getting into unbelief, Lord. I praise you and thank you that I'll lose nothing, Lord. You said that I'd be blessed going in, blessed going out. Now you're setting yourself up to advance and develop faith. Who knows faith has to be developed?
Yeah.
Faith has to be developed. Give me the next one, Beth. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing in this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. What Paul was saying here, I've learned in the state that I'm in not to get in unbelief. Not to get in oppression and all of that. I've learned to be content where I am. Not in a sense of not advancing. See, I'm not going to stay where I'm at. I told Teresa, you know, working on that land up there, you know, and everything. And I've told her over the years, I said, listen, I said, God gave that to me and I know it. God gave it to me. 40 acres for $12,000. You don't hear that. 40 acres, $12,000. $12,000. I'd give $100,000 for my house, 14 acres. $100,000. I told her, I said, God gave me that and I don't know what he's going to do in the end. But I feel like I've got to develop at it. No, you know, whatever it costs me. And so I stay on it. I've broke down to everything. I've been discouraged, going to sell it. You know, just tired, shut her down. Y'all know all that's broke down. I've told y'all the stories. Well, you know what, bless God? I kept on and believing God and believing God and get back up and fast and pray and strengthen me. And you know what? All of it's paid for right now. The whole 40 acres is paid for. The whole 40 acres is fixed, man. It's got 2 ponds on it right now. Fixing to have 3 on it. I'm going to build another one. And all I like is one more little cross fence on it. And I just put out the last 15 acres I've cleaned off every inch of that property that I'm aware of that could be cleaned off, usable for grass. Hallelujah. And I just went the other day, right before the snow, we had put out the last 13 acres, took me 2 days, of grass seed. And I told the Lord, while I'm going up there, I said, thank you, Lord. It's complete, Lord. Now you can make it, you can put your blessing on this grass, Lord.
Amen.
And then, you know, all I can see is Chuck E. Cheese. She's for sale. Oh, she's green. I'm going to wait in the springtime. I'm going to wait till the cows are laying back fat and happy out in the green grass where you can see it off of every mountain around there. Man, if you can see grass, man, you get on any mountain, you can see my place. And they go in there, just throw out there. The fish are waiting on an empty hook. They're so good. They will bite, man. And then they say, how much you want? And I'm going to say, I don't know, about $350,000. About $350,000. Not settle for a little bit less. Not. You're dreaming. That's what I do. That's exactly why I'm where I'm at today. I'm a dreamer. I am a dreamer. Hallelujah. You're a dreamer.
Amen.
You get in that word, and that word begins to give you vision of making it, of coming out, of having a good life, being healed, being strong, hallelujah, reaching other people for Jesus. It gives you a vision, and it gives you purpose to carry on in life, hallelujah.
Amen.
And so I'm waiting until I get everything paid off, Johnny. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. And then when the Lord tells me, I can't do it till he tells me anyways. I could try to do it just because the market's up right now. There ain't nobody looking that way. But wait till the market drops and he'll say, put it up. That wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah.
Wait till the market crashes, then put it up. You know why? Because God's got people got money regardless of the stock market.
That's right.
Praise God. See, that's the way he is in your life. If you let him, if you advance, if I advance, give me that 1 Timothy 4, I believe it is. 5, 1 Timothy 5.
I've got 1 Timothy 6 or
1
John 5.
Yeah, that's what I want. John 5. But you know, that 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday. Went and had no surgery, you know, and then asked him about over there. I mean, I've been fighting them polyps and stuff and those for years, since 2008. And I kept polyps at one standstill from 2008 till last year. I'm telling you, right now, that sucker didn't move.
Amen.
He couldn't grow.
Right.
He even told me, he said, that thing is exactly the same. I said, look, I kept that at bay by faith. Then I told him one scripture to put in his doctor's office. Then I busted him with $100 bill for doing the surgery. But you know what? I asked him, I said, look, I said, there, I've got this excess mucus where I'm constantly having to clear my throat. I said, is this going to do away with it? I don't know if it will or not. And he said, well, we got medicine. I was thinking, he's going to try to put me on Mucinex. That makes me want to kill everybody. You ever took Mucinex, man? It don't do everybody like that, but it makes me ill. I mean, I take Mucinex and I want to saw everybody in half quick. I'm like, man, you can't do that and have the anointing. You got to stop Mucinex. But it would dry it up, you know. Well, I can't take Mucinex, put me on Claritin D. All that did work. I thought about it. I thought, you know what, my God, I've been through all the way to the time I got born again. I've been through battle after battle with this body, praise God. I've been through battle, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to give up. This other one ain't nothing but another stepping stone higher in my faith. And then I got on it. Now, how's it feel? Don't ask me that. I don't talk. The Bible says, while we look not at the things seen, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. Well, it's okay to tell how it feels. Oh, does it make you feel better?
No.
Does it make you feel better to tell everybody how weak you are, how weak you feel? I mean, they're going off like, good God, I feel the same way. I'm going to die too.
Right.
I thought I had faith till I got around that wine bag. Man, ain't gonna do you no good. Tell somebody else that's what I've been whining. Y'all got a pacifier? I realized I needed one. I've been preaching to y'all. I got to whining a little bit and asked somebody else. Oh, it's Aubrey got one or somebody got a pacifier. I said, Papa needs that. I've been whining.
No, Papa, that's mine.
Well, shoe fits where? I've been whining and I realized it would just repent. Well, quit whining. Maybe all of y'all want to be around me again. I got real. Oh, nobody knows. Y'all know I need a little finances. Believe God with me. Believe God with me. Y'all be believing God with me. You know, I've got my ankle hurt a little bit. How you doing? Yep. Things didn't get. I cut back 4 hours last week. 4 hours, 4 hours, 4 hours. You know that? 4 hours. We believe in God, though. 4 hours. Letting everybody know, poor old you, poor old you. Well, what about the fire of God, sweetheart? What about God telling the prophet goes down there and says, dig a hole, put some wood on there, and wet it all down. I mean, if it had been dried up, kindled out there, it had been good. You know, that would have been great. But he says, wet it. Soak it down. And the fire of God is going to come down, lick it up. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. Well, you know, you take these miracles and you say, glory to God, if God can, if he can burn up the water, dry up the water, then burn the wood, man, he's surely he can meet my little financial need here. If he can tell Peter to go out yonder and go fishing and get the money out of the fish's mouth to pay the bills there, man. He just says, pay all our bills with it. Surely to God he can pull a rabbit out of a hat here. Oh no, it's 2022 now. It's modern. News has done got Jesus where he ain't got no power. And most Christians listen to the news and they think Jesus done died. He did, but he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. They think God's up there good. Lord, the world's in chaos, battle, what's going we're gonna do? What we're gonna do? Pulled up the other day, done that sermon Wednesday night, you know, and gas is $5 a gallon. Go ahead and complain, why don't you? Just go ahead and let us all hear it. Oh, it's $5. We know. We all live out there. Remember, we go to the pumps, okay? But we decide to praise God when we stick it in there.
Amen.
If I get a gallon, praise God for that gallon. I preached that Wednesday night, a guy ran across a guy, and he said, I listened to that sermon of yours. I said, what sermon? Wednesday night. He said, no. I got to the gas pumps and it was $4.89 a gallon. He said, I wanted to cry. He said, and all of a sudden I thought about the sermon. He said, and I didn't say what you said. He said, but I said, God, let this $15 fill my vehicle up in the name of Jesus. He said, got in. He said, I had 3/4 tank. I started saying, he didn't work, did he? But my point is, we need to praise God when things don't look good. We are coming in a good time, a hard time, a pressing time, but it is a wonderful time to see the miracles of God. Amen. Wonderful time to see the hand of God. The church is flourishing like it never has. Well, where's everybody at? They're like you. They don't come and they don't want to. If everybody come like they're supposed to, we'd be full. Now you think about that next time you think about not coming.
Right.
Don't say what's wrong with the church. Ain't nothing wrong with us.
Yeah.
It's people.
Right.
And y'all don't get offended out there. Go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So we quit preaching this. If everybody was in church, we wouldn't have to preach this to Christians.
Right?
Right? If everybody was faithful, we wouldn't even have to preach on being faithful.
Right.
We'd just preach on the blessing. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Roll out the red carpet. Come on, the blessing's coming now. We ain't got no reason to preach on something everybody's doing.
Amen.
That's why we can't go to church there. It's hard. No, you're hard. Headed.
Yeah.
Hearted.
Right.
Yeah.
Softened.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out there and plowed up.
Yeah.
Plow that ground up. How do I do that? Repent. Get in and repent. Say, God, I don't belong to me. I belong to you, Lord. I'm yours to command. Just like they said, they wanted me to come to India. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm yours to command. Do I want to go to India? Absolutely not. That's a world away. I got to fly over the ocean and all that stuff, man. You know? And then they're going to keep me 2 or 3 weeks. And I love my wife. I don't like spending 2 or 3 weeks away from home.
Right.
Just not. And y'all, I'm really glad you're going. Oh, shut up. You'll be wanting me back. But that's all I want to encourage you. That, you know, choose to advance wherever you're at. Fast and pray and seek the Lord. And the Lord will show you. He'll show you how. I don't know how to do it. You know, but I know following him works, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, hey, babe, let's show that if you got, y'all got a minute. Let's show that. We won't have no practice tonight. So we've got no time. This is what you're doing in India. 1 year we fed them for $4,000. $4,000 took care of them for a year. $1,000 takes care of them for a month. 3 months. She'll get it in just a second. We got to work on this. We're going to work on this. Reckon that's pretty loud where they hear.
That's the name of the church. Hello, Pastor Scotty. Pastor Teresa. And all the beloved people of God and faithful Christians. Greetings from India. I'm excited beyond measure to let you know that your loving and kind support has been tremendously felt for the young people and lives are being blessed. I'm sure you will be greatly blessed by what you're going to see next.